What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 23rd. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Tanner Bibee finally being the Bibee's knees because, oh boy, did he have a good game against the Guardians. Just kidding. He is the Guardians. He finally had a good game. This was 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts with 14 whiffs. You love to see this, and I am a little surprised that he did as well. Why? Because the cutter, which has been such a big thing for him, it was in 2024, it's the pitch that really took over. Yeah, it wasn't actually that great in this one. This was more about the sweeper being really effective to right-handers, and then the changeup, despite being kind of in and out of the zone and not really well spotted, like we see all these really good strike zone plots of changeups being down and away to left-handers. That wasn't really it for Bibee, but he still had 5 over 12 whiffs to them. And that was really it. The four-seamer was in the zone and didn't get punished too much. There was a really bad, there was really one of them that was just, or a couple of them, I should say, that were just like, oh gosh, you got away with this, and some line drives the center and everything like that. But yeah, the 42% cutter strike rate, not good. And I want to get in on this with Bibee, but I can't really. He gets the Dodgers next, and I'm like, all right, so we're not going to do that. It's the Dodgers, way too risky. However, we can at least say, do you have the sweeper still working against right-handers? Are you getting all those whiffs with that? Good. Are you getting more consistent whiffs with changeups now? Good. Is the cutter not terrible? Or maybe the curve? All right, cool. Maybe we can roll with this. You know, that's kind of where I'm at with this. And it's possible that with Tanner Bibee, that the rain may be positively affected. It sometimes happens like that. I would say I give him props for getting through this despite the rain that was really messing things up. It's only really one half inning, I think, that actually was very bad for him, or at least with the weather affecting. It was like a just bad rain. I think it affected his opponent more so than Bibee himself. But long story short here with Bibee, we wait one more here, at least with the Dodgers, see how that goes, and then we can play it out from there. Ranger Suarez looked really good in Coors. He's actually looked really good in all of his starts, including the still ill one. He showcased the skills that we want to see from Ranger Suarez. I was very much in, despite the 6-earned run game, and he's been great since. This was 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. All good there. It looks like Carlos Rodon is acting like an ace still. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 16 whiffs for a gallows pull. Got the win against the Rangers, against Eovaldi on the other side, who went 1 run in 6 innings. He is ace, is going to ace, even when the cutter wasn't very good. Rodon, what's so interesting about this is that the changeup was there at times, but then it wasn't always. It was really just 4-seamer and slider. But the fact that it's there is an important thing. You know, Saris talks about all the time of even if you have a mediocre third pitch, it's better having that than no third pitch at all. And this was a blast to do with Randy Wilkins, the director of ESPN's The Captain, that Derek Jeter miniseries that is phenomenal. And also a podcast host of Views from 314, the Yankees podcast with Athletics beat writer Chris Kirschner. So it was awesome to watch this for 2.5 hours live on playback. And this is the kind of stuff that we do at our playback channel. So if you're not following us to watch live baseball, you should. We are also giving away MLB.TV subscriptions for free. That's right. People who are watching right now don't even know this. After I end this podcast, I'm going to be giving away 5 MLB.TV codes, and I'll be doing so throughout the week next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So definitely tune in 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for your chance to win a MLB.TV subscription for the year. I can't wait to be able to do that. That will also allow you who are watching it playback.tv but can't see the video that you can actually do it now. So thank you all so much for being supporters of us on playback. Germán Márquez against the Phillies in Coors got a gold star because he won. Not just won, actually got the loss, funny enough. But he had a very good start. It was 7 innings, 1 run, 4 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Got the King Cole at only 34% CSW. Welcome to Thursday. And yeah, it's a very obviously a birthday party. 13 whiffs on 34 curveballs and 0 for 45 whiffs on everything else he threw. Just kind of funny. But yeah, this is just a birthday party. We know this for Germán Márquez. I mean, it's going to be one good day in the year. It's kind of funny he had a birthday party on my birthday. It's cool. Luis Severino against the Angels. 6 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts against the Angels. Hey, that's pretty awesome. What I love is the cutter to right-handers. He faced a lot of right-handers yesterday, and he featured that cutter away a ton for 46% CSW. 92-93 mile per hour velocity on that cutter. I dig that. I think this is something that Severino has needed. That said, it's against righties, and he already has a sweeper that is generally effective against righties. So when he faces a lefty-heavy lineup, I'm going to be really curious to see if that cutter turns into the main weapon that he uses. So next start, it's the Astros, which are not, and it's right-handers again, and he has all the tools for right-handers, so that should be okay. I'm fine with that in a 12-teamer, but yeah, I'm really curious to see if Severino is able to take down lefties now with that better feel for the cutter. Lance McCullers Jr., speaking of the Astros, went 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. So he didn't go the full 5, which is really annoying. 91 pitches to go there as he continues to be inefficient. That's always been the story of Lance McCullers' inefficiency, but he really hasn't been at the mark of at least going 5 innings as he used to. But we are seeing that strikeout explosion come, right? This is the thing I've been talking about with McCullers. Is, yeah, I don't expect him to be a 6-inning guy at any point, but he is someone who has enough stuff in there that he should have at least one 10 strikeout game this year. It could be within the next couple weeks, and he gets the Athletics in Houston, which is good. It's not in Sacro Verde. You have Pittsburgh in PNC Park, and then you're going to Cleveland after that. One of those feels like it could be 10 strikeouts there. Maybe it's the Pittsburgh one. So I'm really curious about that. At Cleveland's going to be a little tougher because it's left-handed focused, and obviously his big slider and curveball are more effective against right-handers. You have Aaron Civale against the Pirates. Oh, I should mention, don't really want to go for it. I don't really want to actually start Lance McCullers in those games. Just want to let you know, it's too risky at this point. We have Aaron Civale going against Pittsburgh. 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Whatever, 73 pitches, it was still ill. He didn't really want to go for this. We didn't even know if he was going to start at first. And now he is, and that's cool. He's not starting at first, he's starting a pitcher. Just kidding. Aaron Civale to me isn't amazing. He's a Toby. And you need to see the slider slash sweeper slash curveball really being an effective pitch for him to soar. I don't like the version of Civale that is sinkers in the zone with cutters and that's it. He needs to actually have a good breaking ball working. We didn't see one here. I'm not touching this against the Red Sox. We're going to talk about everybody else after this break, though, of like Mike Burrows and Bowden Francis, Jack Flaherty, George Kirby, and AJ Smith-Shawver. What do you do with these guys? I'm going to tell you after this break. Bowden Francis, 4 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks in 4 Ks, 77 pitches. Yeah, he's a hipster in 15-teamers. In 12-teamers, I don't think you should deal with it. His lack of number 2 pitch to get 60% strikes is just, it hurts him too much. While the four-seamer isn't elite, it is good, and it gets better results than you'd expect for a 92-mile-per-hour pitch because he has good extension, he has good vert on it. But Bowden Francis threw this 92-mile-per-hour pitch to Gavin Sheets that was right down the middle, and yeah, Gavin Sheets hit it out. Like, it's just not, it's not overwhelming. And the splitter, I think, was kind of good, 57% strikes yesterday. But yeah, that can't be it in the secondary department. So Bowden Francis, I don't think you need to go for him. Jack Flaherty against the Guardians, a little disappointing as it was 300 runs, but it was 6.2 innings and only 6 base runners with 8 strikeouts. We are happy with this if we have Jack Flaherty. It is really surprising to see Flaherty with 4 over 56 whiffs on sliders and curveballs. That is not what we normally get from Flaherty. And it was against a lot more lefties, and those pitches generally work better against righties. Still, a little strange to see it. I'm not too worried, though. There was this rain that I was talking about with Bybee, right? Tigers, of course. 92 as opposed to 93. Yeah, the rain, right? I think that definitely affected Flaherty here, and I'm not going to negatively talk about that 92-mile-per-hour velocity. That's fine. And overall, generally predictive start. So We'll take this. Steven Kolek went against the Jays. 6 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Very, very poor quality start as 10 base runners in 6 innings and 300 runs. And he's doing everything he can to squeeze production out of his arsenal. He actually had one strikeout on each of his 6 pitches, which I think is pretty cool. But I don't think he's that good. And I think he's good for the Padres of what they need of just trying to find 5-plus innings from something that keeps them in the game, which Kolek did. But for your fantasy teams, I don't think you want to go after Kolek. Tyler Anderson had a terrible game, 6 walks, 4.2 innings. That's all I really need to say here, right? It was just a bad day. He has a bad day. And now he gets the Yankees and then Fenway, and then he has to go host the Mariners, not in Seattle. So you don't want that. Never Trevor. If you're confused about why I keep saying that, I linked to something inside of the article talking about it last night on Twitter. And I really appreciate everybody who understands this fully. So if you don't, go refer to that. But really, I can't express enough how much I appreciate this community for understanding how important it is for us to say and call out people who make others feel unwelcome for no good reason. So, yeah, never Trevor there. AJ Smith-Shawver went 7 earned runs in 3 innings, 8 hits, 3 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? This was actually the last start that we were going to consider AJ Smith-Shawver, because now he gets the Snakes and the Phillies, and this was against the Nationals. And maybe the Nationals are just really bad against lefties, and maybe it's not so much as righties, but AJ Smith-Shawver himself is not that great of a pitcher. He's been getting these really good matchups and throwing 4 seamers. I believe he actually got to the Nationals last time, so there you go. But it was 4 seamers over the plate, but not upstairs where they need to be. And the splitter is this weird pitch. It is not a reliable one. It is not an aggressive one. It is not something I want to rely on, especially as a number 2. And the curve, it's fine. It's like, it's not something that I think should be relied upon for 11 to 12 strikes moving forward. And by the way, that's what he did in this one, and it was a bad outing. That is not the hinge pitch. So AJ Smith-Shawver to me is not a complete pitcher yet. He needs to be focusing that four seamer upstairs more. He needs to find something else that's not the curve or the splitter. I mean, traditionally that would be a slider or a cutter. It seems like he's not good at supinating, which means he needs to be pronating, which means it would be more of a typical changeup than the splitter. It's weird. I'm just not in on Smith-Shawver moving forward. George Kirby made his return from the IL. 3.2 innings of 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Savant, I believe, said that the slider was a cutter, which is very weird because it's very typical slider movement. It was at 88 miles per hour versus like the 94 plus of Kirby. I'm calling it a slider. But this was a 53% sinker game with 6% four-seamers for George Kirby, which is weird because George Kirby has been a four-seamer chucker for ages, and he would get the highest swing rate on four-seamers and the highest swing strike rate and the lowest called strike rate on four-seamers because he'd throw them in the zone so much, and they would swing at it constantly. And it can be very hard to hit when he throws it like 95, 96. So George Kirby throwing so many sinkers, like, no, that should be inside to right-handers, and then four-seamers split upstairs, but he's not doing that? I don't know. It was strange. It was a still ill. I think you're fine against the Nationals moving forward, and we just kind of take it from there. 72 pitches, okay? And the last one I do want to talk about is Mike Burrows, who made his MLB debut? Nah, as a starter. It's the second game ever. He had one game of 3.2 innings in relief last year for the Pirates, so they called him up here. We wanted to see Bubba Chandler. Chandler would have been ready for yesterday. But this was 5 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And watching this from Burrows, what I see is a 4-seamer that isn't really exceptional. It's like 94, has some vert, but it's a very steep angle. It's average extension. And I saw a changeup that is legit. 8 over 24 whiffs. He threw them against righties and lefties as a right-hander. So he had 3 of those 8 whiffs against right-handers, which is a very good sign. But the breaking stuff, 0 for 23 whiffs. And I think that's really the big issue, because the four-seamer at 94 with that vert is fine enough if you have that changeup underneath, right? You can really play that, but you need to have a better set of sliders and curveballs to match with it. So 83 on the slider, not quite what I want to see. And the curve underneath 80 is this big breaking ball, lots of drop. 77, 78. But we generally see two things about those. One, they are generally hard to get over the plate consistently. And two, we see low swing rates because it's just so much movement and they just go, you know what? I'm not going to go for this thing, which makes it really tough to have a ton of success with those huge, huge curveballs. So Mike Burrows to me is kind of a four-seamer changeup guy without a great four-seamer. And that isn't enough for me to chase him. So I'm not in on the Burrows train. I'm still just waiting for Bubba Chandler. That is it for today. Enjoy your weekends. Make sure you go and rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. I was just talking to our podcast people today and they're expressing the necessity and how important that is for us. So please consider doing that. Just even a rating goes a long way and writing a review, it takes it even further. So please consider doing that if you haven't already on this podcast or the main one, the Pitcherless Fantasy Baseball podcast that will go so far for us. All right, that is it. My name is Nick Pollock and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.